Dr. Henry Nyman. It's our Wednesday night, middle of the week. Cases continuing to go up is no surprise here. We've been telling you, I'm sure all of you expected that, the same thing. Any key stories? I've got a lot of them up there. Texas reports largest single-day increase in coronavirus cases for the second day in a row. John Huntsman, who is running for governor in Utah, reports that he is infected. U.S. has passed the 2 million case mark now. White House and its orange president have gone completely quiet on coronavirus as the outbreak is spiking around the country. But Donald has planned for this month, to have his resumption of the narcissistic massaging rallies. He's going back to his rallies. So there'll be a lot of transmission there. He's not going to stop. No doubt about that. What else do we have here? Oh, yes. Fauci, as I mentioned, said the WHO's remark on asymptomatic coronavirus spread was not correct. University athletics programs that have reported positive coronavirus cases, those are named in a story. Elon Musk said to look bad now after coronavirus cases reported at his Tesla factory. Whatever. And then we've got 3, 6, 7 states that Henry sent the totals in on. Got those now. This is kind of interesting. The Imperial College scientists in London, who with Neil Ferguson came out with all of those early predictions, very early, saying that the coronavirus lockdown has claimed, they claim it's saved 3 million lives in the UK already. So there's a big discussion about that going on there. Much more, you'll find it all on the site. Take a look around. Henry, what's up?
Well, as you said, the numbers are going up, and as you know, I've been kind of charting each state, just taking the numbers that they put up and comparing them to the previous days. And I had mentioned that things were going along around 20,000, and they had slowed a little bit, and they were down to about 18,000. But today they were above 22,000, so it's back above 20, and it's an indication that things are starting to pick up, and you can't really rely upon a single day. But today is the highest it's been in probably about a week. And the players have kind of shifted positions. And I thought I'd just go over a couple to give you an idea, a few of them actually. As far as the number of new cases today, so this is essentially yesterday's data and how much it was ahead of the day before that. So these are all during the week, so they should be relatively comparable. And the states that used to be at the top of the list, and they could get do 1,500, 2,000, 3,000 cases in a day. They're all below 1,000. New York had 674 cases today. New Jersey, 550. Massachusetts, which used to be able to put up a couple thousand, only did 267 today. Pennsylvania is down to 410. And Michigan is only 184. Illinois is 625. So all of those were heavy hitters in the past, all but Illinois is kind of in the Northeast, and they're all well below 1,000. And instead, California is just under 3,000. They've jumped things up to about 3,000 cases a day. And then Florida's 1,300. You know, they had, we're getting close to 1,000 now. They're above 1,000. Right. As you mentioned, Texas, 2,322 today, versus 1,600 yesterday and 1,800 the day before. So they're above 2,000 now, and as you mentioned, they haven't been there before. And Georgia's picking up. They got 1,483. Yesterday, they only had 599. The day before, it had 539. So it's almost three times what it's been going at. Tennessee is kind of unusual. They got above 1,000. They had 1,294. Yesterday, it was 631. And the day before, it was 421. And North Carolina... Mm-hmm. It's got above 1,000, and Arizona is up to 1,500 after they issued that alert. I mean, they issued the alert almost a week ago that they were just about out of ICU beds. They're out of ECMO machines. The ECMO machines are all booked. They were booked several days ago, so they didn't really have that many. I think they only had nine, but all nine are in use and have been in use now.
Right.
And it's really kind of shifting to mostly states in the South in the summer. So that, there goes the all gone by April because it's going to heat up and the virus is going to melt away, kind of like the end of winter and the snow. But the virus is not melting away. It's kind of moving right along. And as you mentioned, Trump is actively ignoring this, kind of like January and February and March.
It's amazing. It's really amazing
to see. Talk about anything other than how few cases there were and they were going away. His task force is now down to meeting twice a week, but they never say anything, so it really doesn't matter how many times they're meeting.
How do we know they're meeting? We don't even know.
Right. Well, they said it's lower. They used to be every other day, and now I think they said they were three or four times a week.
Yeah.
Now they're down to two times a week, and they're not issuing any statements at all. And Trump is, like I say, actively ignoring them because he's got a campaign and needs to set up these rallies. And so there is a little bit of information coming out on the rallies. Not that they're going to just happen this month, but
you get a date on one particular venue? I didn't yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you got?
Oklahoma is a week from Friday. So that's going to be the first one. Didn't say exactly where, although they did talk about how he likes packed stadiums, I think. No, they used another
arenas.
Term. Arenas, right. So it made it sound like they're going to be indoor as opposed to a stadium outdoor. And,
he's going to go indoors. Oh, yeah, of course he is. He wants to hear that roar of the crowd reverberating everywhere.
Right. And, the more they roar, the further the virus goes. And so Oklahoma it doesn't have that many cases. Oklahoma's, doesn't have that many people either.
Kiss of death.
It's on the lower side. But round two, after Oklahoma, he has announced four more states.
Uh-huh.
And you want to guess at any of them? I'll give you a clue. I kind of mentioned them all when I gave you the highest, the ones that are getting over 1,000 and running out of ECMO machines and highest ever. And so he's planning on going to North Carolina,
which
has had some issues. Arizona, which is out of ECMO machines, out of ICU beds, and he's kind of come wheeling in there with handing out his Kool-Aid and his hydrochloroquine.
Hydroxy.
And his,
free hydroxy to all attendees.
A few UV lights to wave around or insert somewhere. I don't know exactly how they get inside the body, but anyway, he said that's the way to do it. And then he's going to go to Texas. Texas is, got their highest level ever today, but he's heading to Texas.
He wants to make
Florida.
Everybody number one,
Florida.
Henry. Come on.
Yeah. He's going to be a walking toxic waste Trump, essentially, is what he's going to turn into. He's
typhoid,
gonna be,
typhoid Trump.
Super spreader. He's going to be the number
That's
one
it.
Super spreader in the world. Wherever he goes, the virus follows en masse. And
he'll never get infected. Watch. Just mark my words.
The issue is that I think you're right that will be indoors. Mm-hmm. And I think what I said yesterday is accurate. They will not wear masks. And they'll be screaming and yelling. And
he can't go outside. What if it rains on his hair? Come on. He's
right. Right. It's going to take, you know, 2 to 3 weeks to actually see the effects, maybe even a month. So he's going to get a free ride for about a month saying, well, I don't see any problem here. You know, people enjoyed themselves and they came out and it was
they'll be able to have a happy 4th of July and
the stands were packed and everything's good. But it's going to get interesting. I mean, as you mentioned, they're 2 million cases now, and actually, the Worldometer, as you say, is...
I like that much better. Thank you. It didn't get hung up in my ear this time.
Had it above 2 million several days ago. They're up to 2,065,000. So they've 3 or 4 days ago, they hit it at 2 million. But several others that are... pretty much is zeroing in on the states and ignoring things like the VAs and service people have a little bit lower number. So it took up till today to get up to 2,000. The Worldometer had it up at the beginning of the week. And so the number of deaths now, the Worldometer, I think it's up to 115,000. And the current R naught is supposed to be in the neighborhood of 1.1. So it's slowly going up. But even at the rate of 1.1.
That's it?
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. Well, right now, people haven't really fully come out of lockdown yet. It takes a little while for people to get infected. I mean, I've got a relative that, in New Jersey, like I said, has gone down quite a bit, but he thought he might have been infected early, so he went and got an antibody test to see if he really had been infected but not diagnosed, because he had been exposed to some people and didn't seem to get infected. So he thought maybe he was infected in February or March or so, and he got his results today, and he had antibodies, but the antibodies he had were IgM. He didn't have any IgG, and IgM are the early ones, and then they're followed
or
by IgG. And well, it could be, but this was
early
the
ones.
Test
Good
that
enough.
Other relatives took, and their results seem to be pretty consistent. They had tested positive, so they expected to be positive for antibodies. They were just wondering, you know, what kind of antibodies they had. And most of them were positive for both IgM and IgG, and they hadn't been infected that long ago. And one actually was already IgM positive and just had IgG. And the way it works is IgM are usually the... they're not usually. They're the early response, and then the one that offers you the long-term protection is the IgG. So you get the IgM shortly after you're infected. It takes a little while to get up to a detectable level, and then that's followed by the IgG, which goes up and stays up, and then the IgM kind of fades away. And he was IgM positive, IgG negative. So that would indicate that he was infected recently, and he's just got the IgM. He doesn't have the IgG yet. You usually have the IgG 3 or 4 weeks after you're infected. That means he was probably infected in the last couple of weeks, and he was being, fairly careful about not really going out much at all and having a mask and wiping things down, and he went to get tested for the virus today, so we'll know in a day or two whether he still got virus, and if he is, he's been staying home from New York is where he normally is, and so he kind of came home to New Jersey, and now it's possible everybody in New Jersey is going to be infected. They all went to be tested today. So the virus is still floating around, even though the numbers are down, and that's what you're starting to see. So this 1.1 would bring the deaths up to about 200,000 by August. And so before school really gets going and, they start talking about playing sports again, and the U.S. will be up to about 200,000 dead. And if you recall, that was the original range that was quoted if there was a lockdown, that there would be 100,000 to 200,000 deaths, and Trump, said, "Well, we can do better than that." He meant lower, but he probably is going to do better and get higher. But if you recall, he's talked about, we'll end up with around 50 or 60, and then he went and got it up to 70 or 80, and then he said 80 or 90. And it's 115 heading to 200. And there's no real indication that it's going to slow down. And I strongly suspect that it'll do exactly the opposite, that these increases that are being reported that I just kind of went through for today, they're kind of just the beginning of the increases due to easing of the lockdown, because it, I said there's a fair amount of a lag. And then, so there's the reporting lag. And then there's also the lag for the virus to take off. You start easing up, you get a wave, and then they start infecting other people, and then it starts to go exponential, which is, looks like that's what's happening in Arizona. So they should be out of beds for sure by the time Trump rolls into town with all his followers screaming and yelling and saying, where's the Kool-Aid? And so I don't know. I just have a sense that he's either trying to make the argument that, they have all these rallies out there, that these demonstrations, they have big groups, so why can't he have big groups? Although theirs are outside, most of them do have masks, and they do kind of spread out a little bit because they're outside. Whereas he's planning, I assume, as you mentioned, that he's looking to fill every seat in the House. I think he even commented that since he came down the escalator, he's always filled every seat in the House, by his count anyway, not necessarily the pictures. But in any event, he says there's never a vacant seat. He always tells the crowd that how many people couldn't get in because they were lined up and they ran out of space. But he expects to have a packed arena, as you mentioned. And I would say without masks and without yelling, with yelling and with the states that by 2 weeks from now will probably be the top states in the country, Texas, Florida, Arizona, North Carolina, they're in the right location, it seems, that all the activities in the South. And
sure.
And then the people that come and see him will get affected just in time kick off the school year, or at least kick off the practices for the sports teams getting ready to play in the upcoming school year via high school or college. And I think August things are going to be moving on the up and up. So this RO1 that's currently at around 1.1, I don't think it's going to stay at 1.1. It's going to go up well in advance of the second wave, which I expect sometime in the fall.
At one point, we thought the R was 6 or 7, didn't we, early on?
Yeah, well, that's when nobody was taking any precautions. They didn't know it was there.
Right.
I mean, that's the difference, and that's why you need testing. I mean, back when it was that high, that was when the U.S. wasn't testing. Yeah, it was almost impossible to get tested. Oh, the CDC was doing all the tests, and there were problems with the tests that went out to the state, and so there were delays in getting those results. And they were real restrictive about who got tested, and you had to meet their criteria, not the state's criteria. The states would pick out the candidates for being tested, and they would send the information to the CDC, and they'd send the samples to the CDC, and the CDC didn't test everything they got sent by the states. They kind of did their own evaluation. And in fact, I think in many cases, they told them, don't bother sending them. You know, that you got a sample there. Tell me about this case, and we'll see if it meets our criteria. And if it doesn't, don't bother sending it. And, of course, the criteria indicated coming from China. So anybody in Europe didn't get tested. And so when you've got people that there's no tracking, you know, of the cases, then there's no, you know, quarantine. And they just go on and about spreading the virus. And nobody was wearing any masks. And nobody even knew it was there. If you recall, there was that big uproar that Nancy... what's her name, Macier, was hiding cases. You know, that was the rumor on the internet, which was just wacko.
Nancy Messonnier, the CDC spokeswoman.
Right. That she knew about all these cases, and some guy with a kid with a, you know, saw a cell phone and showed the data, all of which any person could have done all by themselves, and said that, you know, she had said, oh, I don't tell anybody. like she's trying to take this and tell somebody over the phone. Well, it wasn't even telling. I think it was a text message. It was going to send a text message over the phone on some, you know, secret thing that nobody should know about. Mm-hmm. And, just the whole concept that she would put it in writing that we're hiding all of these cases. And I said at the time that I don't think the CDC's hiding them. I think the CDC just hasn't detected them, but they are here. The thousands
That's
of cases
right. That's
was
right.
an underestimate. There were 10,000 cases. And if this satellite data is, you know, being interpreted properly, there were cases in, you know, September in China. And so there would be Chinese nationals that would be infected that were coming in September and October to the United States. And there would be U.S. tourists that had gone to China and were infected. And there would be students. They were from Wuhan and returning to classes. Mm-hmm. You know, go there on Christmas break and come back. And so there were lots and lots of people that would be coming from China that would be doing that in the fall when there wasn't even a rumor that there was anything. I mean, the rumor didn't really get going until mid-December or so. You know, mid-December, they were talking about something was going on, and it wasn't really clear what was causing it. And one of the rumors was that it was a novel coronavirus, and kind of denied that. And it really took till the end of the year till you had that. So you really wouldn't know that it was coming when it was coming. And, you know, putting up travel restrictions in late January for Chinese nationals wasn't going to do anything, because by late January, there were a lot more than Chinese nationals that were bringing the virus over. And it was already here, and it was already spreading, but they didn't have a sequence, so they didn't have an assay. And right. It was flu season, so they had plenty of people with symptoms. They figured it was the flu, and if it wasn't the flu, it was some, you know, upper respiratory type illness that was, you know, shows up in the winter. And they had whatever. They don't diagnose everything. In fact, they have this whole analysis that all they're measuring is flu-like symptoms. You know, they're not even testing them for flu. They're just saying that, well, they're coming into the clinic and they've got flu-like symptoms. And some of them get tested, and a lot of them don't get tested, because they figured that, you know, there's a lot more people that don't come to the clinic that have flu-like symptoms, and it's flu
good
season.
Thinking.
So what are they gonna
I
do?
Like the way they so, think. Yeah.
So, in any event, the virus was coming, you know, a long time ago, and it had to build up. There really wasn't any contact tracing or quarantine. And without the contact tracing or quarantine, then you have the spread, because nobody's really putting the brakes on at all. And now there's at least, you know, even if the lockdown has some been lifted, they still try to do some types of control. I mean, they got plexiglass up at stores. They ask you to, there were a lot of them require you to have a mask if you're going to go into a store.
Right.
And so even though,
well, that can't, let's, all right, let me just address
up,
that
they're
real
not
quick.
Totally ignoring them.
That can't, right. You wear a mask into a store, it can't hurt anything. It can help a little bit, especially if you're an asymptomatic spreader, right? What do you think?
No, there was a study. I was actually going to get to that.
Oh, okay. Get to it whenever. Get to it. Take your time.
The study, I get to it now, because I just got to go over real briefly. It was, they looked to see what a mask did and when you wore it. And they compared people that wore the mask all the time and people that only put on the mask once they developed symptoms.
Right.
And they found that wearing the mask all the time was significantly more effective than just putting the mask on after you developed symptoms. And the reason for that is not really that hard to figure out. And that is because if you monitor viral load, you see that the viral load is actually the highest 1 to 3 days before you develop symptoms. So you're most contagious before you even know you have the virus. And if you're not wearing a mask during that time, then you're spreading the virus, and you're just getting the tail end of it if you wait until you have symptoms. So by the time you have symptoms, the viral load's already starting to go down, because the symptoms are part of your immune response to the virus. So the load is already peaked. So your ability to transmit it, at least by talking, is much higher. And if you've got that combined with the mask, then the mask limits how far the virus goes. And so that argument is not saying that it can't hurt. You know, is saying that it helps a lot as far as the transmission is concerned. And like I said before, the mask is really for people that you would spread it to, as opposed to protecting you from the virus, because a cloth mask is too porous. The holes are too big to really keep the virus in the air from getting going through the mask and into your body. And so it's really protecting others from you, but it does limit how far the virus goes if you do cough or right. You know, once you are symptomatic. But it also when you're just talking.
Yeah, let me restate my question. If you go to a store then, and they ask you to wear a mask, let's say they don't ask you to wear a mask, and you have some good masks, would you advise people to put the mask on before going into any crowded store?
I would advise getting an N95 so that, A, you right. don't get infected because you went into the store, and
that's
B,
correct.
You don't infect
right.
anybody else because you went into the store.
It works both ways, so yeah.
Right, right. And so the mask is going to help. It's not that it can't hurt. It definitely is going to help. It's not necessarily going to help in every store every time you put it on, because most of the time you won't have the virus. So for you, it really won't make that much of a difference. But you don't know that you don't have the virus because you've got a ton of virus 1 to 3 days before you show symptoms. So you don't know whether you're going to have symptoms 3 days from now or not. And so saying, well, I feel fine, and therefore I don't need the mask, so nobody has to worry about me infecting them. I just won't wear the mask. You just don't know that you don't have the virus. You don't know right. that you're not spreading it. So the reason you wear the mask is because you can spread the virus before you get symptoms, and there's no real way for you to know. Like I said, the relative I mentioned in New Jersey, he was being very careful. He really didn't go out of the house much at all. He probably only went out of the house a couple times in a 2-week period. And he was, very careful. And he's got antibodies. Unless he's got a false positive on the antibodies, being careful didn't help, even though he only went out a few times. And he was in an area that has the virus on decline. I mean, the New Jersey numbers are down significantly. He probably got infected a couple of weeks ago. The numbers were a little bit higher when he would have been infected. And there's still, 500 new cases today. So that's a lot better than 3,500, which is what New Jersey was running at. They were getting 3,500 new cases a day. Now it's only 500, so it's significantly lower, but it's not zero. And I'll know in a day or two whether he actually still has the virus, and they'll probably test him for antibodies. Cause it's been almost a week now, and if it's real, he'll become IgG positive instead of just IgM, and his IgM will probably increase. But the virus is still out there. Trump's not talking about it, and it's really more the same. He's kind of still in this anti-science category. He doesn't really care about the virus. He tried, using the virus is an excuse for getting on TV and talking for hours and basically interrupting all programming and being front and center. But, it really wasn't doing him that much good, because the longer he was out there, the easier it was to see that he didn't know what he was talking about. And then when he kind of capped it off with the Lysol and the UV light, being shut down real quickly, because it was clear to even the casual observer that he should do what? Lysol? He wants you to take get Lysol into your lungs?
They're still getting reports.
He wants you to insert UV light. Yeah, well, that's why I say he's got, the only category he's above water in is high school educated whites. I mean, that's it. And he lost the college whites, and he obviously didn't have any people of color. So he's lost the women. So that's about the only people that still believe him. As far as, more than 50% of the category. That's the only one that he has any kind of belief. And, I mean, he says he's going to sue CNN.
I saw that.
Because they had him down 14 points. And, it wasn't even an outlier. I mean, on real politics, the average for his job approval is now down, I think, 12 and a half points. So that's only a point and a half away from CNN. And that's an average. So, I mean, there were plenty of Gallup and...
It's so grim.
Had him down 18 or 19 points, and he's trying to sue CNN because there was 14 as well. He hired a law firm to take a look at how they do their polling. And, I mean, that is getting to desperation. And apparently, when his own pollsters give him the numbers, he doesn't like that. So he just fires them. He's running out of pollsters because he can't find anybody to tell him how good things are.
And
he probably doesn't even know about the ones that have it worse than CNN because nobody will tell him. He's afraid to look. And so he needs somebody to tell him, and nobody's saying, CNN's really not even that bad. You should see what Gallup is or they've got you almost down 20 points. 14's good compared to those.
Yeah.
But he's kind of in this bubble world, and it's not reality based. And I don't know what he thinks the virus is going to do. I don't know if he thinks he can just talk it down. If he just ignores it, it'll go away. Or people aren't going to notice, or
in all fairness,
it's going to disappear a little bit late.
Let's look at the creeper living in the basement, and the Democrats want him to stay in the basement so he doesn't go out and stick both feet in the nearest desk in his mouth trying to talk. He's got mental illness issues. He's not well. Everybody knows this, and it's the worst kept secret in the world. So you got that on one side, and you got Trump on the other. This is the best two we've got to look at in America in 2020? These two?
Yeah, well right now it's a binary choice, essentially. And I don't know. Trump's already proven what he's going to do with the power. And it's made
well, what you got to worry about, though,
is coronaviruses.
Yeah. Who Biden is going to select as his vice president. Our political system, first of all, is a joke. In my view, I'm speaking for myself, it doesn't matter who's in the White House anymore. It's a figurehead. It's a titular job that just doesn't have any real rank. The Pentagon just told Trump to take a hike again. How much more embarrassing does it get? This is showbiz, okay? So it doesn't really matter. Doesn't matter if Hillary was in there or the ghost of Hubert Humphrey. It doesn't matter. The deep state, are going to do what they want to do at their pace, and along with the international banking superstructure, which is what it is. It doesn't matter. We've lost any semblance of a true representative government, except on the local level. So don't give up on your local politics, friends. I can't, in good conscience, suggest that we need to worry much about the national.
Well,
that's me.
Okay, and since we're really supposed to be focusing more on the coronavirus this hour, if you
that's
look
a good
at
name for a new
the,
political party, isn't it? The coronavirus
right,
party.
Right. if you look at the countries with the largest numbers of confirmed cases, we're looking at the Worldometer here. U.S.
Thank you. Thank you for that. I like that.
USA, 2,066,401, number one.
Mm-hmm.
By a long shot. Number two, Brazil, 775,184. Number three, Russia, 493,657. Number four, UK, 290,143. The four countries that are the top four in the world with confirmed coronaviruses have carbon copies heading their government. You got Trump, you got Belisario, you got Putin,
Bolsonaro.
And you got Bolsonaro. And what's his name in the UK? So all of these guys are carbon copies of Trump. So I don't think that they don't have any effect. I mean, it's pretty strange that you'd have the top four in the world on multiple different continents. I mean, number one in Europe is the UK. Number one in Eurasia is Russia. Number one in South America is Brazil. Number one in North America is the USA. And they're all little Trumps.
I'll go with you on the Bolsonaro and Trump. Boris Johnson almost died from it, so I don't know what that...
It gives him a little bit of a unique
profile.
No, it doesn't. And no, it doesn't. He was following Trump when he got infected. He was saying, this isn't a problem. We got to get some herd immunity here. It's going to go away.
Of course.
And then he shifted gears. Once he got infected, he said, well, maybe herd immunity is not that good an idea, especially when there's no real treatment right now. And he put that on, but it was late. So he managed to get in front of everybody. He got in front of Italy. He got in front of Spain. He got in front of
Germany, but that wasn't that hard.
I mean, Germany did contact tracing, and they really kept the numbers down, and they never really got into that much trouble. Whereas, Italy and Spain were way out in front. And you know, I'm looking at this list. India now has passed Italy. India is number six now.
India's on the move. Okay.
Yeah. So they're number two in Asia if you count Russia. So they've moving on up and you know they're just getting going. You know they have if you look at deaths per population, they've got six deaths per million and. The U.S. has 348. They've got a tiny fraction of their population is infected, but that doesn't mean it's going to stay that way. And
have you heard anything about the conventions that are coming up in about 8 weeks or less now? Are they still virtual at this point?
Well,
or is Trump going to demand a real
virtual? Trump is talking about moving it possibly to Florida, and he plans on bringing everybody in to the arena again. So he's planning on what me worry, kind of, is there a virus out there? No, nobody told me.
You know, I know.
I haven't read much about it in the news, you know.
No.
And my task force hasn't said anything. You know, I'm not sure where they are, but I haven't heard anything from them.
Jerry hasn't said anything to me in weeks about it. Not a word.
They're not going to talk about it because it's a lose-lose situation. I mean, they've already got the biggest numbers in the world. They're number one in cases. They're number one in deaths. And they're increasing the numbers during the summer, and it's mm-hmm. only going to get worse. It's not going to get better in the fall. The virus doesn't go up in the summer and disappear in the fall. That's just not how respiratory diseases work. And we kind of saw that with another coronavirus.
A week from Friday, Trump will be in Tulsa, packing them in.
Yeah.
It'll be a sellout.
And like I say, Tulsa doesn't have that much virus. There's not that much virus in Oklahoma. So that's not going to be that big a deal. They're way behind North Carolina, Arizona, Florida, and Texas. And those are the next four on the list. I think he's planning on doing that the following week. So, 2 weeks from now, he should have done one or two of those that are at the higher end. And the tricky part, what he's banking on is that you're really not going to know how much damage he did for 3 or 4 weeks afterwards, at least two. But you're not going to hear about those cases until a week after they've started to go to the doctor. And so it's going to be close to a month after he has the rallies that you're going to say, oh, gee, it seems to be,
Well, they're going to have a great Fourth of July, like I said. Everybody's going to be happy.
And I don't know if he's still planning on something for the 4th of July. He was planning on having a big celebration in D.C. And mm-hmm. he kind of cooled on it a little bit because I said, well, if you have something, you can't really pack everybody in. And, he's always into crowd size. And so having a rally that you can't pack him in isn't worth having type thing. So I'm not sure if they still have something planned for the 4th of July or not. But, even if they do something on the 4th of July, that's going to still be outside. And people probably aren't, they're looking up at the sky. They don't have to be in one particular location. So they can spread out a little bit. But that's going to be much different than the arena. So they're not doing stadiums, and they're really doing arenas. And it's a closed, an area that
wants
to make sure that everybody's
going to be happy.
Somebody in every seat.
That's
and
right.
Not wear a mask. It's and especially in a couple of weeks from now, things will be rolling because, there'll be more activity than there is reported because there's a delay in reporting it. So,
uh-huh.
If there's numbers that are going up and they're in the news, there's another whole group of people that are already infected that aren't symptomatic yet. So they don't even know they're infected. And there's another set that aren't symptomatic, but they haven't really made up their mind whether it's bad enough to see a doctor. And they're gonna, if they they plan on seeing Trump and they got a little bit of a cough and this virus isn't a big deal anyway. It's just like the flu, and not most people don't get sick or they don't die. They don't go in the hospital. They recover. And so something just being overblown by the press and they don't need to worry about it. So if they got a little bit of a cough, they can go to the rally anyway and have all these other guys yelling the same thing they are. They'll feel better.
He has five rallies scheduled in three, 4 weeks. Five rallies.
Right. You're talking about over 3 or 4 weeks or within 3 or 4 weeks?
I think within three or four weeks.
I'm pretty sure it's more than that. He's going to do Oklahoma a week from Friday,
uh-huh.
and then the following week, I wouldn't be surprised. Those venues I listed are going to all happen.
Florida,
in the
North
week.
Carolina, Arizona, and Texas.
Yep.
And Oklahoma. So I think he's going to just try and get as many in as he can before people
No, I know. because if he spreads them out, he's going to potentially not be able to do them if he gets too many people sick, or if you get a governor who says no rallies because it's crazy. And in a couple of weeks, it'll be obvious to everybody except Trump that it is crazy, that you're you're a public health hazard, and to allow it to happen is, you know, to pretend it's Philadelphia 1918. Let's see if that's going to happen again.
All right.
And
Very good.
We'll see. So let's do it again tomorrow and see what we come up with.
Thanks, Henry.
Okay,
thanks a lot.
Take care.
Dr. Henry Nyman. Okay. Thanks to all of you for being here. We'll be back tomorrow night, Thursday night. Gerald Salente will be here. And D.V. Kidd, that's tomorrow night. Talk to you then. Have a good night. Have a good day tomorrow.